how fast you were going.
What? How fast you were going?
I don't know. 10?
8.
Be advised, this is an explicit podcast, so if you're easily offended, get your panties twisted into a knot, turn this off before you get butthurt and mad, start to cry, have to run to your safe space. All opinions are those of the host and his guest, and do not reflect the opinions of any government agency. Welcome to another episode of Motor Cop Chronicles podcast. I'm your host, Iceman. No guests this week. I do have some stories from some traffic stops and some motorist assistance I did over this past week. But I don't keep getting tongue-tied. Like I said, unedited, unscripted, so... like and follow. Follow me on Facebook. We have live shows on Wednesdays on YouTube, Facebook, Truvo, and Twitch also. You can go over there to any of those platforms. And subscribe, hit the bells, and notification buttons. You'll know when we do live shows. Come interact with us, me and Holstera. It's fun. Really the only reason I do live shows just because I enjoy interacting with the people that do come into the chat. So come do that. Come interact with me and Holstera. If you're listening on Apple, hit the give me a 5-star review if you don't mind, and write a review. I'll read it on here. More reviews and 5 stars we get helps with algorithms, but enough of that crap, right? I want to say this totally law enforcement related. Right before I decided to come record this evening, it's Sunday, so I'm going to put it out right afterwards, hot off the press, or hot off the SD card. How's that? Me and Bam were sitting there watching a movie, decided to watch a movie based on true life stuff or real events or however you want to put it. So we found one. If you do not want to get extremely angry, mad, and have homicidal thoughts, do not go watch this movie. It's an older movie. I think it was made in like 1990. It's based on events from the early to mid 80s. It's called Unspeakable Acts. It is on Netflix. If you want to get pissed off and want to think about committing homicide, go watch this movie. If not, don't. Because actually, Holstera called me about something. Quill called X Bam about something he's making for on a 3D printer while I was going on. I told him about it. So I was like pissed off. And he's like, I'm not going to go watch it. Like I said, it's on Unspeakable Acts on Netflix. And it's basically about a serial child pedophile molester guy, and how I guess it's how CASA or something about came about of how the social workers, the psychologists interviewed these children. So I think it was a breakthrough case in that, but it is like I said, I was livid mad watching this movie. I think I was up pacing around at one point and bitching at the TV and saying stuff that I would like to do to that individual. But anyway, you can go watch it or not watch. Depends on how mad you want to get. Like I said, it's not a feel-good movie at all. And it's older. So with that out the way, if y'all remember a couple episodes back or so, a few weeks back, I had had an incident where I ended up pulling my gun out of the holster and having the people at gunpoint giving them commands. We talked about that, right? Well, guess what? It happened again. Same stretch of highway, a little bit different fashion this time. I pulled this vehicle over. It was a Toyota van. It was silver, Florida license plates. Wasn't going super fast. It was doing 75 and 60, you know, 15 over. do everything I'm supposed to. Gave dispatch my location, a mile marker. Gave him the license plate and stuff, yada, yada. Anyway, I go up and I'm making contact with the driver. She's a female. I can't say Hispanic of origin, I guess Spanish, whatever, Venezuelan. I know she is from Venezuela because she informed me of this. I don't know why she did, but she did. And she spoke English. I don't know how well, but she seemed to understand everything I was saying, and she was able to communicate back with me enough where I could understand what she was trying to communicate. Well, I'm telling her why I stopped her and the information that I did need from her. Two Dually pickup trucks came, pulled over on the shoulder in front of us. Probably about, 75 yards or so away, 75, 80 yards away, I'm guessing. It was enough distance in front of us that I was fine with it. I looked at her. I said, "Are they with you?" She advised me, "Yes." I said, "Okay." I said, "Call them on the phone. Tell them to stay right where they're at. They're fine where they're at. Do not come over towards us." She said, "Okay." And she understood me. And she got on her phone. And, of course, you know, I do not speak Spanish. And so she's saying something to them. I'm assuming telling them what I said. So we're still getting the information. She was having a hard time finding the registration or something with a VIN number because my gizmo, for some reason, everybody's gizmo for some reason, is not wanting to pull up the out-of-state license plate information. So we're having to punch in manually the VIN numbers and stuff. So I'm making it. While I'm doing this, I keep watching. One next thing I know, I see reverse lights come on. The Dualies, both of them, are starting to back up towards us. Now I'm on the driver's side, and which I'm usually on the passenger, but I think she had pulled over too close to the railing on the bridge. And I tell her, I'm like, tell them to stop backing up, stay where they're at, stop coming towards us. Not sure. I think she might have picked her phone up now, because right now I took kind of a step back where I'm a little bit behind her window, and I'm watching them. Well, next thing I know, they stopped. Well, then two males get out and begin to approach me, approach us. I don't say me. They were approaching in my general direction. I yell at them to get back in their vehicle, which they didn't at first. I yell at them again to get back in their vehicle. Yet they continue to approach. At this point, I unholstered my weapon, pointed it at them, told them to get back in their vehicles and stay where they were at. They put their hands up and went back to where they had come from, which was to their vehicles, where I wanted them to stay in the first damn place. I told her, I said, she said, "I believe one of them must have been her son," from what she said. I told her, "I don't care who he is." I said, "Call them back on the phone. Tell them if they get out of their car and they come towards us again, it's a good chance someone is going to die and it's not going to be me." I'm assuming that she did, because they didn't reapproach. I don't know if the males spoke any English or whatsoever. At this point, I don't care. I guess they did speak the universal language of Glock, because that's what I had pointed at them, and they did understand that. I don't understand why people in this day and age are going to think it's a good idea to approach any law enforcement person on a traffic stop. I'm not going to do it. I'm a cop. You have my wife pulled over or whatever. If I'm not in a vehicle with her, I'm not just going to pull up and try to approach this cop at all. I'm just going to, I might pull over up a boat way far behind or way far ahead, wait for him to get done. But I'm not going to approach. We'll discuss the citation later, but I'm not going to approach. It's too much. I mean, they just had that guy, was a New York cop that just got shot in the head. In between duties, he worked some extra duty, went and took a nap in his car, and somebody shot him there. I mean, thank God, I think he's going to be fine. But, I mean, he didn't die, which is good. But, I mean, and you think I'm just going to let people walk up on me like that while I'm already dealing with somebody else? I don't think so. Now, I've mentioned it before. I'll say it again. I did, I always say, after I'm finished a traffic stop, I stay behind the people with my lights on until they pull off and they're safely back in their lane of traffic to travel down the highway. Then I turn my emergency lights off. So safety for them. So I'm sitting there. I gave her her ticket. I told her, you know, here's your information. You can go to court, call the number. It's on the bottom of the citation. Yada, yada, yada. Have a safe trip. Went back, got my unit, and I'm waiting. Most people leave before I even get back in the unit. Some of them may take just a short time putting their stuff back. Anyway, so I waited, and about 3 minutes, they still hadn't left. So at this point, now, so I got three vehicles still in front of me. So at this point, I reverse, and I put a little bit of distance in between this, and I wait. I'm still waiting, and I'm waiting. And I'm waiting, and they're still not left. I'm like, all right, and finally, you know, after probably about 8 minutes of this, which is a little ridiculous, I merged in traffic myself and turned my lights off. And I guess they could leave when they wanted to. I wasn't going to wait all day on them. I don't know what the hell they were doing, or she didn't understand, or what the hell. But yet again, you know, people need to smarten up. You know, I don't care if they're from Venezuela or wherever. I mean, it don't take, like I said, common sense. It's not that hard to come by. Not that damn hard to come by. But obviously, people there in Venezuela don't have common sense on these highways either. So, this next one, I was right into it. So, all right, at this point, I'm like, all right, I pulled off back in traffic. I'm like, well, I had to go. Take myself a little pee-pee because I'm old and I had to pee and I'm on an elevated highway. So I had to go to the next exit up, which has the only thing at this exit is boat land, and there's no gas stations, rest stops, nothing. There's nothing. There's a place to launch your boat. That's it. But there's places I can pull off and I'm going to take a pee-pee. So I go, I'm going to do this, and as I get off, there's this, like, type vehicle it was. It was a Jeep, I know that. It wasn't a Jeep Wrangler, and I think it might have been a Cherokee or something like that. I don't know if it was a Liberty or not. I don't know. It was a little Jeep SUV, not of the Wrangler family class there. And I saw it on the side of the road with its hazards on. It has a flat tire. Back, right side, flat. I'm like, all right. So I stopped, and I'm like, what's going on? Oh, we got a flat tire. We called roadside. And I was like, sorry. So I turned my lights on. I just backed up onto the shoulder. So I wasn't sitting in the roadway. I get out. There's a male and a female. Now, I'd say they were late 30s, maybe, early 40s, somewhere's up in there. I think they had New York tags. I'm going to say California. But they had New York tags on the vehicle. And I said, look, do you need help changing the tire or something? I mean, spare? He's like, the spare's on it. We blew a tire yesterday. Now, this is probably 4 something in the afternoon. Said he blew a tire yesterday, and I had to put the spare on it. I'm like, so you didn't stop and get another spare? Because this, you know. Well, we were going to this Walmart in this, it was a town probably about 20 miles up maybe to get one there. I'm like, well, shouldn't you went and got a spare right after your continental breakfast this morning or something like that? Well, his wife's like, see, I told you. And she hits on him. I mean, it was all in fun. I mean, she wasn't, I'm not saying she was actually mad at him, but she's like, I told you so. About getting a spare. So she, the wife advisor had, I think Geico insurance. And, they had called to have roadside assistance. Don't get me wrong. I'm not doxing roadside assistance services, but I'm just going to say that most of them are crap. Okay. Around here anyway, because most of the roadside assistance places have, I guess, contracts or something with certain record companies. And usually it's been in the two departments I've worked for, it's been my experience is when you call roadside assistance and they send you a record, they might send you one that's going to take 3 or 4 hours to get there. I've seen them send a record from damn near, you know, an hour and a half away in good conditions to pick up a car when they have records 10 minutes up the road, 15 minutes up the road. They're going to send one that's, you know, an hour and a half away in good driving condition. So, to me, roadside assistance is just useless. Just crap. But she advised that they had called their Geico roadside assistant, and they had called, like, their Geico or whatever, says they had called, like, 4 different record services, and they all refused to come pick up their vehicle. Now, like I said, this exit it's in a swamp. Okay, I'm not going to lie, it's in a swamp. Like I said, no stores. They have some camps, but you can't even see those. They're well into the swamp area. But it is, there's nothing there, nothing. Like I said, nothing at all, except a boat landing. So I ended up, I called my dispatch. They got a wrecker en route. I think he took about, I don't know, about 40 minutes to get there. I sat with them. They did have a uniformed guy that had been dispatched, but I'd already taken it. So, I mean, he came. I told him I got it, so he didn't have to sit there. Anyway, we talked a little while. You know, kind of did find out that they were, and they were a couple hours, 3 or 4 hours, I think they said, outside the city of New York. So they lived in the state of New York. They said they were way more rural. And this vehicle of theirs, I'm not, you know, live in Louisiana. So, but the bottom of the vehicle was like rusting out. It wasn't even that old of a car, I mean. But they said it was from all the salt from when it snows and they salt the roads. I mean, I guess people that live in saltwater areas or people that live in northern regions where they do salt the roads, I guess that's a major thing. But I know when the wrecker did get there and pull it up on there, they actually had a piece. I don't know if it was a stabilizer bar or it was part of the drivetrain. It was like hanging down and it was like rusted, completely broke off from the whole bottom chassis. This poor vehicle is rusting out. Well, we were talking stuff, and I did mention the podcast. I think I gave him a refrigerator magnet. Also, like I said, I don't know if they'll listen. I told him I would be telling them, talking about this. But they were, they were super nice people. You know, I love meeting people from way different areas and stuff like that. And of course, the tow truck driver shows up and like you. He was kind of sketchy looking. I said, you got your gun? And she's like, huh? The lady's like, huh? She's like, we don't have guns. I said, what do you mean you have a gun? I mean, they didn't even own a gun. She said, it's just two different regions, it just shocks me. You know, to me, everyone should have a gun. I assume everyone has a gun because, you know, like I said, I started shooting guns when I was like 8. So, but we're talking about, I forget exactly what part of the conversation came up. Oh, he said, the husband said something about being intimidating or something. I'm like, well, he was a, you know, he's probably about 6 foot, slender guy, probably right about, I don't know, 160, maybe 170. Not a big guy at all. He said something about being intimidating. And he told me this. He said that where they lived out, or where he used to live out or something, that he was outside in or something, in a like a bobcat, a wild bobcat, like walked past him and just kind of like looked at him and just kept walking, and then like stopped and turned around and looked at him again and kept walking. And he's like, I couldn't even intimidate a bobcat. It's like, well, I said, if he turned around and looked at you, he probably wouldn't think if you were like food or something like that. But they were heading to Texas to the lady. I think they were heading to Texas. I don't know. Anyway, I think that was some other people I pulled over. I think that was you all people, yeah. I don't know if I told this story or not. But anyway, these people were from New York, state of New York. Super nice, super friendly. I hope they got their spare tire. I hope they got their tire fixed and got a spare tire. So then they had to buy 2 tires. And if you see a Jeep being for sale cheap from New York plates, don't buy it because the bottom's rusting out on it. It's bad. Anyway, I hope they had a good trip. I hope they listened to this and got a kick out. Like I said, super nice people. They probably just thought I was some stupid-ass redneck or something like that. But, hell, maybe I am. I don't know. But, like I said, that's one part I do love about my job is I get to meet new and interesting people. And sometimes I don't have to write them tickets. So, most of the time I'm writing them tickets. But sometimes I don't have to, which is a good thing also. Now, one more story. So, if y'all are hoping for a whole hour episode, probably not going to make it. But this next story, this happened, or sorry, was I believe Tuesday? I think this happened Tuesday, yeah. Anyway, there's a old abandoned truck stop area where I stop to get, you know, all my stuff ready before I get out there and start writing tickets. Make sure I have my right court date on stuff. Make sure my electronic ticket writer's working. Make sure everything's got enough charge to it. You know, battery's good in my LiDAR. It's a 2 buildings there. They're metal buildings. You know, they're, you know, gutted, fallen in, nasty, been abandoned for 10, 15 years. It's got a good concrete parking lot. So I pull in there to get my stuff together and take a pee before I get out there because there ain't nowhere to pee. That's what happens when you're in your 50s. But I pull in there and there's a trooper there. So I stop. I'm like, what's up, dude? And he's like, yeah. They were actually looking for a bad guy. They were looking for a bad guy that had been involved in a carjacking the day before, night before, and they got one, and the other one ran off. He was involved in a car chase and all kind of stuff like that, and they were getting the Angola tracking dogs out there and all this shit like that, see if they could track down the other ones. They had pictures of them on a deer cam. I'm talking about, like I said, this swamp area. There's just a city boy, so I'm surprised he just didn't give himself up. If it would have been warmer, he would have gave himself up because the mosquitoes would have ate his ass alive. But anyway, he's like, they got some cars parked up behind the building, which you understand the weeds and the grass here are grown up good 8 feet. And there's a little place where people drive through because I think at night kids probably come hang out there and drink and shit. The people that actually, whoever still owns it or repairs it, might just put a garbage can out there so they can people put their trash in it, which most do. Anyway, he said, there's 2 vehicles back there. He says, I don't know if they like screwing or what. And I'm like, you can go check? He's like, I ain't going to check on that. I don't want to get involved in. I'm like, I said, well, screw it. I said, I'll go do it. Because I'm just nosy. I want to know what's going on. So I drive back there, and there's a pickup truck, you know, a Durango, new model Durango, both Louisiana tags. Well, when I pulled up on the side of them, there's two people standing in between the vehicle, male and female. I'm like, what y'all doing? It's like, the guy's like, oh, we're just talking. I almost looked at him and said, what you talking about? I'm like, oh, y'all just talking behind the building here. I said, y'all got IDs on you? Oh, yeah. I said, well, let me see them. They give me their IDs. I look at them. They're both locals from that area, you know. They didn't have the same address, so tell you that. So, and I believe I saw some wedding bands on people's fingers. And I don't think married people, they're married to each other. Like, I'm not going to meet my wife behind a abandoned building in the weeds, right? Why would I? I said, oh. I said, what y'all doing? Oh, we just talking. I said, okay. I said, well, I said, do you think it's a real good idea to be talking out here? I said, because I looked at him. I looked at the woman looks like she's about to piss in her panty. I said, I looked at both of them. I said, because I'd hate for y'all to get caught talking out here and me have to deal with a domestic violence situation. And the man just kind of looking at me. I said, right? He's like, yes, sir. So I backed up. They ended up leaving. I hope my listeners are smart enough to figure out that they might have been talking at that point because they were both fully clothed, but I guarantee they shouldn't have been talking to each other in that type of location because I'm pretty sure they were both married to other people. And it wasn't a very good place to hide because you could see them from the main highway if you're in the right position. So they need to find themselves a better place to meet each other up or just stop meeting each other or divorce your spouse and then do it. Because obviously y'all are sneaking around and you're eventually going to get caught and people's feelings are going to get hurt and worse than that may happen. So just stop, people. Especially, they obviously not being very sneaky about it because me and the state trooper rolled up on them, didn't we? So if they'd have been doing something else, that'd have been a whole different story. That'd have been pretty damn funny. Right in itself right there. It's been a long time since I walked up on somebody doing that, and Freebird would have been extremely, extremely jealous of the fact. Oh, I do have something else to talk about. One of the listeners emailed about the last episode we had with the Lovable Corrections guy, which I'll throw it again. I appreciate him coming on, and hey, anybody else listening knows people wants to come on? Hey, tell them I'm corrections. Like I said, I'll take paramedics, EMS, firemen, any kind of public service, first responder type people, military. Come on, tell your stories. We like to hear them. But anyway, in that episode, I mentioned something about body scanners. Well, the listener, which, you know, I don't say people's names. He's one of our members. He has contacted us before. So he is a loyal member, and we do appreciate him tremendously on there. But anyway, he said, saying that 2022 find me well, and he sent me a link I'm going to click on, look over here, and we'll read it about a local incident involving a body scanner. Scanner, and he said money well spent, and I will put the link in the description in the podcast if anybody wants to go look at it also, because I believe I looked at it before. They have a picture of the scan and stuff in it also. Anyway, it says it's from a Tech 84 site, and it says a jail body scanner finds a gun on a woman arrested for drugs. Or it was written about November 25th, just as in 2020. So it's not super old. Anyway, this is in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Said when body scanners were installed at the Allen County Jail a year ago, Sheriff Dave Gladix knew they would find drugs that people were trying to smuggle behind bars, which If y'all listened to the episode where we talked about a local state prison here, they just found a shit ton of drugs and alcohol and all that stuff. So it gets in. But one of the scanners they installed on November 2nd startled all the corrections officers around, and for good reason. A state trooper pulled over a car for speeding and arrested a 26-year-old Anthony Mizell and 25-year-old Brittany Anderson for possession of cocaine. People still getting coke. Most of everything we're getting now is meth. Coke's like old drugs now. I guess rich people drugs, I don't know. Officers patted down both of them and took them to jail. The confinement officers working lockup pat them down as well. They felt something was a little different with her. They could tell that she was maybe wearing something under her clothes that made it feel like there was just something there that they wanted to take a look at, the sheriff said. Before two female officers took Anderson to the shower for a strip search, they had her go into the body scanner to see what they might be dealing with. A few seconds later, when the images appeared, they couldn't believe what they saw. There is a picture of that scan on here. Like I said, I'll put the link in the description. Y'all can go click on it if you want to see the picture. High up on her abdomen was a loaded handgun with ammunition clearly visible in the magazine. That's a damn good scan right there. I'm going to tell you that right now. Looks like she had some kind of waist, like almost like a girdle type thing. It must have been in there. I don't know if it was designed for it or what, but you can see the bullets and everything in it. That freaking, it's awesome. It's cool. The gun was safely confiscated, but the sheriff says he shared what happens as well as the images with Fort Wayne State Police and asked them to include it in their training. Yes. To let the public know, look, don't try it. Don't bring us anything because we're scanning everybody now. And also to let area law enforcement know that, look, don't let your guard down. Yes, that could have been extremely dangerous. This woman would have pulled his gun out in the back of that car, sitting behind the law enforcement people that arrested her. They could have, she could have killed him right there. It could have been like a really, really, really bad situation. You know, I know as a guy, you know, and not having a female around sometimes, and you go to search a woman, we're extremely cautious because, you know, when you doing just a rough pat down on a woman because you don't want to get accused of, you know, groping her or anything like that. We use the back of our hands, you know. So you're not going to feel exactly the same with the back of your hands. And if it was inside of this girdle type thing she had on, it might have been concealing it pretty good. So, I mean, I can see how somebody, especially a male cop, would have missed this. I can see how that could have happened, but it could have been, like, really bad. Unfortunately, they don't have a women officers or law enforcement people, law enforcement professionals around to use until you get to the jail most of the time. So just be real vigilant. Like I said, go take a look at that picture. It can be a really scary situation there. I don't know how much these body scanners cost. I'm sure they're expensive. I think we're supposed to be getting some for our courthouse coming up. I was talking to the head of security guy when I was helping him out. When I was helping him out up there, he said that I think they were getting some. To scan everybody coming in the courthouse, which I think is a good deal. And it says the metal detectors are about the regular old standard metal detectors. I'm looking up. It's about $4,500, which that's not bad. Full body scanners. I'm just did a quick little search on it. I'm using DuckDuckGo. Try not to use Google for anything. But I don't have to. Full body scan cost by scan type and how it will do. I think it says it takes around. This one's talking about, you know, medical one. So, but then ask it how it does it for jail. Hope I'm not boring y'all too much. I'm just curious as shit. Ooh. Well, that is very expensive, because I'm looking at full body scanners purchased for county jail at no cost to taxpayer. A full body scanner is being purchased for, y'all sitting down? Because these, a regular metal, the one that's just for metal is like, what'd I say, like, I don't know. What should I say? It wasn't much. It was a couple grand or whatever. Full body scanner for stuff like this is $95,000 each, right at $100,000. But, tell you the truth, so that you can't get grants for them. So they're in $100,000 a piece. So, I mean, I can see why a lot of agencies don't have them, but they can get them. I think I would, if I was a sheriff or a police chief or something like that, I'd be like trying to get that put in, especially at my jail. Especially at my, if I had a correctional institute or something like that, I definitely would. They might be a little bit cheaper now. Look at something out of, I think it's Meadville, PA Tribune or something like that. That's where I seen it at. Anyway, tell me what y'all think. Write me an email. What y'all think? Think those are worth the cost if they are about this one here. I looked, another one had one installed, $160,000. So, yeah, I say it's about $100,000, somewhere's up in there. So, y'all think that's worth the cost? Being taxpayers and stuff like that? I mean, I think it is. I think that's more than worth the cost of spending that kind of money to put body scanners in, especially from safety perspective and stuff like that. All right, I'm not going to bore y'all too much with that. I hope y'all enjoyed the stories tonight. Like I said, if anybody wants to be a guest or got some stories you want to tell, and I will definitely read them, and you know I will embellish and make stuff up on them. Anyway, just come back Wednesday. We'll have a live show, of course. Come participate with us. Come say hi. And see what kind of messed up news stories we can read about and give our our expert opinions on whatever, or our thoughts on it anyway. Anyway, appreciate y'all listening. Remember to stay safe. Watch your back. Watch your partner's back. Remember to always smile, because the Iceman could always be behind you.